চৈতন্য চন্দ্রদায় মন্দির কি শিশু আর মারব কি শ্রী শ্রী পঞ্চতত্ত্ব ভগবান কি শ্রী শ্রী প্রহ্লাদ নরসিংহদেব কি শ্রীমার ভগবত মহাপুরাণ কি শ্রী সদ্গোস্বামী প্রভু কি সমবেতবৃন্দ কি গৌর প্রেম নন্দী হরি হরি বল অগৌরী স্তুতি সমুদ্র ভূটিস অগৌরী স্তুতি সমুদ্র ভূটিস অগৌরী স্তুতি সমুদ্র ভূটিস অগৌরী অগৌরী শ্রী 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 গুরু এন গৌরাঙ্গ গৌরী শ্রী শিল প্রভুপাদ মাম বিষ্ণুপুরায় কৃষ্ণ কৃষ্ণায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতী ভক্তি বিরান্ত স্বামী নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবী গৌরবণী বিচরণ নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাড়ি পশুচার ওম নমো ভগবতে
বাসুদেবায়
ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় ওম নমো ভগবতে
বাসুদেবায়স্টুডে
উই actually finished chapter 13 and today we have some handout material. I'm not sure questions essay questions. I don't know. Oh, that's the essay question. Okay. And for chapter 14?
Materials.
Yeah. It's already been distributed to you. Not everyone. Oh, who's missing for chapter 14? There's some here who need. Okay. So I guess best place to start would be with any questions that you might have on the material we covered in chapter 13. Just restarting again after a break, and we've heard some of our regular students may still be in Puri, or some have gone to Vrindavan, or some may be on safari. So we thought to kind of ease into that participation of the class, kind of see who shows up in the next week. And also you may recall that we did announce this I think before the break, that from now on we'll have one class presentation. In other words, at the end of every chapter, probably more like starting with chapter 14, then the class gets together as a whole, and those who wish to participate can put together one single presentation in whatever form they like, to reciprocate with us their realizations. But Yeah, I think we should wait till chapter 14, the end of chapter 14, before we do that, because we're not quite sure what's going on right now. More students are coming or not. So, today, don't leave without getting your essay question for chapter 13. There's a long preface here, and this is to help you understand from this point on what we're trying to accomplish in terms of the essay question and its relationship to examinations for the full-time students who are working for Bhakti Vaibhava degree. That's why this essay question is... Actually, the question is rather... is not long and not complicated, but there's a long introduction to it. Just... I feel I need to go through this with you because it's pretty self-explanatory of you. But please take this with you before you go. And so that's what we're going to be doing this week, just that you answer the essay question. And next week we can see about class participation. So anything else? Any other questions? No? Okay.
Yeah. Is they could leapfrog on it. Like one group takes one chapter, one group takes the next chapter, one takes the next, and then after that they go to the one after that. So they just keep going. So it's like somebody's doing 15th, and then group A is doing 15, group B is doing 16, group B C is doing 17. Group A then goes and does 18, and that way then they know what's coming, and then they can prepare and make their plans like that. Okay. And that way then you can still have your single.
Yeah.
But it gives also, everybody doesn't have to be working every time on it. Yeah. But it gives also time for doing their other studies.
So then, there's no further questions. Then we can... Who received already the study guide for chapter 14 and is caught up on that? Okay. And some of you have just received it. So we'll just begin that today. And for those who have just received the study guide, we'll just start, and you can catch up over the weekend in your reading, if you're reading along with the study guide. So this is chapter 14, The Disappearance of Lord Krishna, Adhyaya Prakashika, the brief chapter summary. So Arjuna's return to Hastinapur is past due. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, after noticing inauspicious signs, reveals to Bhimasena his fears that Lord Krishna, whom the Pandavas completely depend upon, has departed from this earth. This is a summary of verses 1 through 9. Yudhisthira elaborates for Bhimasena the omens he has observed, and concludes that Krishna's footprints will no longer grace this earth. That's a summary of verses 10 through 21. Arjuna suddenly returns from Dwarka, and Yudhisthira in anxiety questions him about the welfare of the Yadus. Yudhisthira's questions turn to the reason for Arjuna's dejected countenance, Yudhisthira concludes that the only possible cause for heroic Arjuna's depression is Lord Krishna's disappearance. And that is a summary of verses 22 through 24. So now, Maharaj, can you take us into the shloka Anusharana?
Verses 1 to 4. Suta Goswami relates that Arjuna has departed Hastinapura for Dwarka. His intention was to visit Sri Krishna and the Yadus to find out about the Lord's future programs of action. Several months passed without Arjuna's return. Maharaj Yudhishthira then noticed many inauspicious omens. He took them as indications of a change in the direction of eternal time. This caused fear to penetrate his heart. He saw disruptions in the seasonal regularities and noticed the people in general had become proud, greedy, angry, and deceitful. Many citizens in his kingdom had taken up abominable means of livelihood. Ordinary transactions were polluted with cheating, even among friends. There was a constant strain of misunderstanding between husband and wife, parents and children, as well as between brothers and well-wishers. Sounds pretty... Just, hey, that's normal. Two things kind of come up here is that one is inauspicious omens, and then that's related to the Lord's disappearance. So that brings out the principle that's made in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that auspicious means in connection with Krishna, inauspicious means not in connection with Krishna. It's a very important definition of piety and impiety. Right? Because piety that's not connected to Krishna, according to devotional service, is also considered impious. Nice impiety, right? You're bound by a gold chain instead of by a silver and iron chain, but still impious, you know, like that. So that would be one element. Another would be is that the fear. Because fear is based on relationships. So the Lord's gone and he's their protector. So then that fear came. Right? The fear is that of relationship not being there. It looks the same. It's very important because we'll see this come up many times. Just like with when Nrisimhadeva appears. Then Lakshmiji is afraid. She's not afraid for her life like the demigods are. They're afraid, you know, he's killing everybody, maybe he'll kill us. She's not afraid of that. She's afraid of, here's my husband, but I've never seen this form. I would have no clue how to serve him in this form and in this mood. Therefore, there's fear because she doesn't know how to manifest the relationship or, you know, apply the relationship. So the same here is that he sent Arjuna to find out the plan so they know how to adjust their life so that they're part of the Lord's plans. But if the Lord's gone, then what's the relationship? You know, I mean, how do they express that relationship? That would be a better way. So just as Lakshmi didn't know how to express a relationship that created fear, then Yudhishthira also, now without the Lord present, how to express the relationship that's causing fear. So that's different from our fear. But we learn from it in our own. But it's because it's a reflection. But this is real fear. You know, this isn't the here because we want to be God and there's already somebody in the post and we somehow or another are fearful how are we going to become God. You know, it's a different fear like that. So these two. Then as we see is just the standard, what they mentioned here is that, you know, what's happening, he's starting to notice, which he is starting to really feel is very much of a pain on his heart. For us, this is like, you know, pretty normal. You know, it's like, in fact, this is probably pretty good. You know, he didn't mention that they're killing each other and, you know, like that. So, you know, this is Kali Yuga on a good day, you know. Then, 5-21. Seeing all this, Maharaj Yudhishthira anxiously said to his young brother, Bhima, quote, "Under my order, Arjuna went to Dwaraka. Now 7 months have passed. Could it be, just as Narada predicted, that Lord Krishna is about to disappear from this earth? Due only to his causeless mercy, we achieved unrivaled royal opulence, good wives, control over our subjects, and victory over our enemies. Now just see all the evil portents manifest in the world due to celestial influence. These indicate danger in the very near future. The left side of my body is quivering. My heart is racing in fear. Look, a she-jackal vomits fire while howling at the rising sun. Dogs fearlessly bark at me. Cows pass me on the left side. Lower animals like asses circumambulate me. My horses appear to weep as soon as they see me. Here is a pigeon that appears to be a messenger of death. The shrieking of owls and their rivals, the crows, makes my heart tremble. The sky is encircled by smoke. The earth and mountains appear to throb. Sounds of thunder vibrate in the clear sky, and lightning flashes across the blue. Clouds of dust raised by the blasting wind darken the whole world. Rain clouds pour blood upon the earth. The sun's rays seem diminished, and the stars seem to fight one another in the sky. Living entities all around us are bewildered. They seem ablaze and weeping. Rivers, lakes, and the mind are all agitated, and butter no longer burns. What is this extraordinary time that has come upon us? Cows no longer give milk. They stand unmoving with tears in their eyes. Even the deities in the temple seem to be crying, perspiring, and about to depart. The cities, villages, and the countryside appear to be devoid of beauty and happiness. I think that all these disturbances indicate some great loss to the world's good fortune. Being marked by the footprints of Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the earth has become most fortunate. However, these inauspicious signs indicate that this will no longer be the case." End quote. So, see, a few points come up that he is mentioning his unrivaled opulence, good wives, control over subjects, and victory over enemies is due to the Lord. So we see as a king, these are things he has to do. As a king, he needs to be married. He has to have sovereignty over his students. Citizens. Things must be prosperous. There must be victory if there is any other kings that are acting improperly. All these things are there. This is necessary as a king. He depends upon the Lord for that. It's taken to the Lord. Prabhupada was mentioning once when we went by in Calcutta on Mahatma Gandhi Road, he was pointing out where his house was. Now stands the Govinda Bhavan. That was like the area, that was like the front yard. So then he mentioned it, and then around the corner there's a big fruit market. Now it's become a very dirty place. You don't want to go in there. Very dangerous. Pickpockets, everything. But if you look at the architecture of the area, it was a huge, very elaborate, decorated square. So basically in Calcutta, the best place, the most opulent was Mahatma Gandhi Road. Then it was called Harrison Road. You know. Then within that area, that square was like the most posh area. And it's exactly next to that where Prabhupada's house was. You know, if you take on the planet, India is the best in India, then Bengal is the best in Bengal, then, you know, this area. And so then there was not a better place on the planet to have been than there. So Prabhupada said that he and his sister would go out and fly kites there because there's a kite flying season. And then they would be praying to Krishna, "Let my kite go higher," right? Because the rasa between the brother and sisters, there's that you know, chivalry there, you know, of who can win. But they're dependent upon Krishna for it, because that's the rasa, right? Brothers and sisters will always do these little mock fights and stuff like that. So, therefore, but they're depending upon Krishna to fulfill that rasa. So this is very important element. Due to the impersonalism and voidism, being affected by that, the idea is any activity is Maya. But no, the activity, if it's not connected to Krishna, is Maya. If it's connected to Krishna, it's not a problem. Right? Because that's the whole point, is that in Braja we could say, but it's not the highest. Yes, it's not the highest, but we're not the highest. So it all goes together for the Lord's pastime. In Braja, we'll say the gopis are the highest, and of them then Radharani's group, and of them Radharani. So then why don't we just have Radha and Krishna and forget everybody else, because everything else is lower. Right? Vaikuntha is lower, material world, everything else is lower. So then we don't need the Purushavatars, we don't need the Vaikuntha Murtis, we don't need Dwarka, Mathura, we don't even need most of Vrindavan, because hey, it's just Radha and Krishna. Does that make sense? The pastime means you have all of that. That's important. Why is Radharani the best? Right? She's in the middle. Right? You have those gopis who are older than her, like that, who are more aggressive, more active, more full. And then you have those gopis that are younger, headed by Danya, that they just go and they're just cute and they go there. When they're in front of Krishna, they just kind of smile and are embarrassed. Right? So, and they're like little girls. So Radharani's in between. Right? So she can manifest both of those, but she herself is situated between. Does that make sense? So, therefore, by comparison, what is otherwise, how do you know this is good unless something else is bad? How do you know this is sweet unless you have salty and other flavors? Does that make sense? So all aspects may be there. So in the spiritual world, it's all perfect because it's directly connected to Krishna. It's all internal potency. In the material world, it's indirectly connected. It's Krishna, but we don't necessarily acknowledge it. But when we do acknowledge it, then we get benefit from it. Does this make sense? So therefore, this principle, whatever we want, it's Krishna who's providing it anyway. Now you have the choice whether you want to turn to Krishna for it, or think because it's Maya, ignore Krishna. Right? That's interesting. Because it's Maya, I will ignore Krishna in it. And somehow or another, that's Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? But technically, according to Shastra, that's called Nirvishesh or Shunyavadi. Like that. So Prabhupada's come to save us from that. Why? He could have said so many of the other things, you know, that they've gone away from the Vedic culture, or they've given up their Krishna consciousness, or anything else could have been in that mantra. But no, save the West from impersonalism and voidism. Right? So because of that, we don't want to. The guy wants to get married, but he'll do it on his own because it's Maya, so therefore Krishna's not involved. He'll take care of the family. But that's Maya, so Krishna's not involved. Does that make sense? He wants to have children, but then, you know, that's Maya, so Krishna's not involved. Does that make sense? But somehow or another, Yudhishthira here, then he's taking the point is, due to his causeless mercy, we achieved all these things that are the standards for that rasa. Being a grihastha, being a kshatriya, it's all part of the Lord's pastimes as the universal form. Right? He's created them. So then, perfection comes when you connect those to Krishna. Does that make sense? Okay. Then we get into all these different signs that are there. You know, definitely quite inauspicious. And like that. So basically we see is everything doesn't work when Krishna is not involved. That's the point. You know, and these are early points in the Bhagavatam, so we can understand that this is very... And very essential point. Like that.
What about these specific omens?
What do they exactly mean?
The
right is considered auspicious for the man. So if there's trembling on that side, it means something good's going to happen. The left is considered inauspicious. It's the opposite in the women, because he's the man. The right side is the male side. The left side is the female. And the woman is the opposite. So that way then the two go together. They make a complete unit. But so for the women, if it trembles on the left side, that's considered auspicious. Like when Krishna was performing that pastime where Mother Jashoda was sending a box of, you know, cloth and jewels and gifts to Radharani. Then when she was out of the room, Krishna took everything out of the box and got in the box. And then it was arranged that Abhimanyu, you know, Radharani's so-called husband, came to collect the box. So he picked up the box, very heavy box, right, had Krishna inside, and carried it on his head all the way from Nandagaon to Jabad. If anyone's ever made the walk, it's a decent walk. So he's carrying Krishna on his head, that he's going to then take this box and bring it into the inner quarters of the house where his wife is with all their girlfriends, and tell him that Mother Jashoda gave this message, please take what's in this box and enjoy what's in the box and put it on your body, keep it close to you, you know, like this. So in the box is Krishna. So he's going in, giving this message like that, and you know, so you can't get better than that. And so when this is happening, when the box shows up, all the gopis, their left sides all start trembling. Then they think, something's going on here, because when our husband comes in the room, we don't get troubles on the left side. You know, it's generally the opposite. You know? But now it's that, you know, so what's going on here? You know, only when Krishna comes, and he's coming in and tells us, enjoy what's in the box. So it can't be Krishna, because he wouldn't tell us to enjoy Krishna in the box. But at the same time, it's got all the symptoms. So like that, then the right side we see Yudhishthira, and the left side we see as in Radharani. The animals, they pass on the right, because that's the correct place to pass. You know, this thing where the car goes on the left side of the road, and the oncoming is actually on the right, that's actually the Vedic roadway. That's auspicious. Because you always pass somebody, because the right side is considered the side you use for puja and that, so it's the auspicious side in that way. You eat with the right hand, you offer with the right hand, that men and women. So then that's there, so you always pass somebody on that. You circumambulate, you always keep your right side. So it says they circumambulate keeping their right side. You always see it mentioned.
Hold the weapon.
Huh?
Hold the weapon.
Hold the weapon, yeah, in the right hand. Like that. When you pass by animals, you hold the stick on the right side. Okay. So the idea is that it's there. So if the animals are passing on the right, I mean on the left, that means they're not offering respect. You know, there's something going wrong there. So that you could see like that. She jackals vomiting fire while howling at the rising sun. That's obviously, that's a little while. You've seen the little jackals here like this. So if you ever see one of those vomiting fire, then you know something's wrong here. Very important to notice, these omens themselves are not the cause of the bad reaction. Very important. The Yudhishthira in the previous four verses says that there's a change in eternal time. Right? So the time itself is changing, therefore that's given to us through the planets. All, whatever happens to us, comes to us through the planets. They're the messenger, just like you get your post through the postman. Right, we get all our reactions through the planets. They're just the officers in charge of giving to human beings all good and bad reactions. So therefore, when there's change in those, you know there's change in the universal. It means in yours, it's there. But because Krishna's present, therefore it changes the whole scene. And when he leaves, it changes it again. Right? Does that make sense? So the omen itself is not the cause. So it's not that you adjust the omen. It's just telling you what's happened. You know, it's just like if I come out, you come and I say, oh, you know, we're lunch is, you know, it's a fast day today and lunch is at 12. There's no breakfast. So it's not because I said it, therefore there's no breakfast. Because there's no breakfast, I said it. So it's not that by going, wait, you know, let's back up here, you know, and say, I didn't see, move back a few paces, and then walk by again. That time I'm not going to say, I'm going to say, what's going on here? You know, and then he'll think, hey, great, you didn't say it, so therefore there's breakfast. Does that make sense? So therefore, it's hilarious. But you go to most astrologers, they'll tell you exactly to do this. Oh, this omen is there, therefore you have to do this to counteract the omen. It's got nothing to do with the omen. It's just, all it is the omen is stating the fact of what's, you know, it's the preview of what's coming up, you know. Does that make some sense? So you can deal with changing your consciousness, because that's why the reaction is there, but you won't change the reaction. you'll change how you'll respond. Okay. Does that make sense? So then, here, these things are something. Sky encircled by smoke. The not sure if this is meaning that it's around. And anytime you get a circle of like clouds or something like that around a planet, that's like you have the moon and it's got a big circle around it, or the sun has got a big aura around like that. That's considered inauspicious. It generally means that there's going to be some calamity or something happening to like leaders or heads of state or prominent personalities.
There's a drought.
Huh?
Some drought happens.
Oh, drought happens when that happens. Oh, okay. So it brings drought.
Gelo.
Huh?
It's called Gelo.
Halo.
Gelo.
Yeah. Then cows don't give milk. That's the whole idea of Brahminical cultures based on the cows, because with cows, then you get milk. Milk, you drink that, it develops a finer brain tissue, so you have Brahminical culture. From cows, you get butter and ghee for sacrifice, for doing all the offerings. So the butter's not burning, so you can't. It's hard to do sacrifice, and the cows aren't giving milk, so you don't get any butter anyway. Right? So then, how do you perform sacrifice? Everyone's bewildered. That means they don't have focus. They don't know what to do. It means people will not do their duties. Right? You're focused. You know what you do. You just do everything. Everything works smoothly. Right? You've seen. You go into a situation. You know what to do. Very quickly, it's done. You go into a situation, don't know what to do, nothing happens. So you can imagine the whole society doesn't know what to do, nothing happens. Right? But in the Vedic culture, everybody knows what they're supposed to do, therefore it's very prosperous. Everything happens. Right? So focus is very important. So it's very inauspicious that focus is lost. Right? Rivers, lakes, and the mines, these are what cause, they're all connected. By bathing in a flowing river, it calms the nerves, right? So it's all connected with the mind and all that. So it's supposed to be the rivers and lakes, and the mind is supposed to be peaceful, right? By seeing the rivers and lakes, you become peaceful, right? But here, you're not. They're agitated, so that means something's very wrong. Nature is supposed to be beautiful and inspiring. It's not. It doesn't look attractive. So something's wrong, right? In other words, all the beauty, all auspiciousness, all good, all fortune, all focus, all direction is all coming from Krishna. When Krishna goes, basically whatever is good, it becomes removed from everything. Like that. We're used to it looking like this, so probably, it's not as good as it should be, but for us it's normal. Just like brothers and sisters kill each other, we say, hey, that's normal. Or parents and kids fight, that's normal. Or husband and wife fight, that's normal. These things happen. But here, Yudhishthira, because he's seen it not happening, therefore when it does happen, then he notices it. Like that. Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. Is that clear? Anything on that? Or
anything about the pigeon seeming to be the messenger of death?
Yeah, because pigeons generally are used to bring news and that. It's either some good news is there or some, strategy or, it's something progressive. So here the pigeon is the messenger of death because the doves are and all that are generally taken as peace. Peaceful peace, like that. So then it comes up. That's it.
Are they relevant to the perceiver?
Are they relevant to perceiver generally? Because generally the one persons who it's for will notice it. But at the same time as there are, let's say you're on a journey, anything within the first, I think, 2/3 of the journey is relevant to you. After that, they're not relevant to you. They're someone else's omens. At the end of the journey, if you see a bad omen, it's not for you. Yours are at the beginning of your journey. Like that. But what you see is what is affecting you. Otherwise, you don't see it. It's not for you. Like that. Is that right? So that's why also sometimes, generally, if you see them, you don't necessarily point them out. Because they're your omens. Unless it's dealing with you as a group. Like Sahadev came into the house of Lak, and then by the omens there, the tick-tickies and this and that, then he could understand that this house will burn. So that deals with all of them. Therefore, he he explains that to Yudhishthira. So then they understand something's going on, and then they find the escape and all that, and so then they're always aware of it. So, but otherwise auspicious things like a cow and a calf, the cow is suckling the calf. If you see it, that's for you to see. It's auspicious. Never point it out. It's against it's inauspicious to point it out to others. You've seen it, the cow doesn't mind, but as soon as you start pointing to others and they'll go, oh wow, look at the cow, then the cow starts feeling there's some threat and it's feeding its calf, so then it'll get anxiety, it won't give milk and won't take care of the calf. Because milk is there only because the mother's not in anxiety. Right? That's the thing. Too much desire, too much anxiety, then the mother doesn't give milk.
Is this only for the cow and the calf almond, or
other generally auspicious ones you don't point out. Like if you see a rainbow, that's auspicious. You don't point it out to others. Like that. It's just the way it is. These things are. It's good, you keep it to yourself.
If it's
connected with others, that's another thing. You're all traveling and you see something, then that affects all of you. But if it doesn't, if it's just your own, you just keep it to yourself. Things that are good, you don't have to talk about them, because as soon as you talk, it's gone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, if you talk the case to show anymore, or...
That's another thing. That's not the important point. Whether it shows or doesn't show... That's not the point. The point is that it's showing an effect. And that effect, then you know it's there, and it's that you deal with that. That's in your own life. Right? Sobriety is considered a good quality. People who just blab everything is not considered very good. Does that make sense? Just like we saw before in the last chapter, Bad news is not a topic for discussion. You don't bring it up. If it comes up, you discuss it, but you don't be the one that discusses it.
Good.
Huh?
These comments are good.
Yeah, so why do you have to do it? You know, it says, you know, you get up in the morning and, you know, and you see and your wife is in a good mood, she's looking so beautiful, then you go out, hey everybody, my wife's looking great this morning! Do you want to understand, or do you want to... What is your point? Let's take it from this angle. Why do you feel that you must tell everybody else about it? Why?
Not everybody, just close friends.
But why close friends? If it's so good, why not everybody? Ramanuja, when he got the Om Namo Narayanaya mantra, he was told to keep it to himself, he told it to everybody. So if it's good for your friends, why not for everybody? Why only your friends? And then what class of friends? You have so many acquaintances. How do you decide which friends? So there's discrimination being used, right? So the discrimination right now is only according to your desire and need.
Well, just it happened that a friend saw it and you're both traveling, as you said about traveling.
If it's something that both, if you're going one way, he's going another, then that's another thing. But if both of you are engaged in the same work, then it can be shared.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yes, but I already explained that before about Sanjaya and the Pandavas. See, it's a very important thing, is knowledge is something to be gained and learned from and absorbed. And in gaining it, one wants to use the intelligence to find out how to use it and apply it. But simply to find that, oh, this is contradictory or this seems to be fine, to take that is important to find the fault and therefore I don't actually have to learn it or apply it, it's not considered actually a very useful quality. It's very popular. The Westerners especially like to find fault in anything anybody says just to prove them wrong, then you feel that you're better. But here in the point is when we made the thing and I went out of the way to say that it was shared by Sahadev with his brothers because the burning of the house affected all of them. But if it doesn't, if you're just standing there with some other people, you see the omen, what has it got to do with anybody else there?
I mean, it's the house, it's a bad thing. But if you see a good good omen on the end of your traveling, and you share with...
Okay, but why do you want to share?
Because you want to have something to discuss with. No, it's because you want to discuss something with your friends so that you've given some special news, and then you'll get from them, oh, wow, and you get to share in that. It's simply selfish. You have to share it because you want to see them smile and go, wow, hey, this. Because it's your omen. It's not their omen.
Yeah, because the omen, it's rare to see.
So is your wife when she's naked.
Well, it's not a wife, it's a... You see a
the
fish,
thing is this, you're making the distinction. Do you want to learn, or do you want to stay in your own opinion and stay in that rut for the rest of your life? Do you want to change your viewpoint to understand or not? This is the question. I just want to know that, because if you don't, I'm going to stop talking, because it's a waste of my time.
I do want to
learn. Okay, then you start listening instead of halfway through everything I say, butt in.
No, because
that's just the point. Okay, we're just moving on. Because, see, it's like this. There are those who speak, there are those who listen. If you're not qualified to listen, you're not qualified for me to speak to. It's against the rules for me to speak to you now, according to Manu. Because you don't want to listen. So you're wasting my time and everybody else in this room for your point that you have to share because it's good. So what? Just because it's good doesn't mean you have to share it. You go to the pizzeria, the pizza's good. You don't go out and give a piece to everybody that's there. You discriminate. When you want to share, you share. Who you want to share with, you decide. But the Shastra is trying to tell you how to come to a higher level of this understanding that you don't want to hear. So, enjoy. As Yudhishthira considered the many portents of doom around him, Arjuna returned. Maharaj Yudhishthira saw his face was pale and marked with unprecedented dejection. Indeed, Arjuna's head hung low and tears glided down from his lotus eyes. Remembering Narada's prediction, Yudhishthira questioned his younger brother, "Please tell me whether our friends and relatives of the Madhu, Bhoja, Dasarha, Arha, Satvata, Andaka, and Yadu dynasties are all passing their days in happiness. Is my grandfather Sudasena, my maternal uncle, Vasudev, Balaram, the personality of Godhead, Hridika and his son, Kritavarma, Kamsa's father, Ugrasena, and Krishna's sons, headed by Prajumna, Sushena, Charudeshna, Samba, and Rishabha, faring well? Is Lord Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, enjoying life at Dwarka, surrounded by his friends and relatives?" So that's actually his point. So he wants to get at, is Krishna still present? Is he still performing his pastime? See, it's also important in here in the questions. Why up to this time, generally Maharaj is kind of reluctant to get into questions. I don't mind questions. And Maharaj is quite reluctant about them, simply for this reason. Is that we have a topic, he's the one that can focus on something and really go into detail. So that's actually what the academy's for. It's for whatever is the level of study that you're doing, you keep it simple, but you go very deep. That's the whole idea. So now, in that, the idea is that you're going through and you want to hit the points very exactly. And then a question that's exactly with that brings that out and adds to it. And then it's considered good, considered nice. So that kind of question is not a problem. We see himself, he's asking these kind of questions. Very exact. Exactly, why is it connected here? What's that? So that's good. But tangent questions, one are dealt with later in the appendix of each section. But at the same time, as these are discussions, actually the Bhagavad Gita. That's why normally you would not allow anyone into a Bhakti Vaibhav course unless they've done your Bhakti Shastri course. But because the Bhakti Vaibhav came up first, therefore we're sharing that, and the Bhakti Shastri will start, you know, next term. So then it will work. So these things where we have doubts on the authority of the scriptures, doubts on the culture, why it functions the way it is, those kind of things, that's all for Bhagavad Gita, because that's the ABCs.
That's where we can work out all these different things, all the doubts, all the misgivings. See? Because what you're talking about, this is not a doubt, this is a misgiving. So, basically by the second verse of the Bhagavatam, you have to give up misgivings, or at least be willing to let drop them very easily. Bhagavad Gita is where you argue about them. Because Bhagavad Gita deals with nine aspects, it doesn't deal with rasa. Because rasa is the relationships, the interaction. Bhagavatam does. So once you get to rasa, it's a matter of churning, not arguing like that. Does that make sense? So the Vedic principle is something good, you don't necessarily share it. You have to see, because your definition of what's good friend may or may not. Do you know what is a good friend? Define what a good friend is. Means succinctly. Very exactly. What are the qualities of a good friend?
Well, friendship is something which comes from Krishna.
Okay, that's there. But I'm talking about what are the qualities? How do you identify? We know it comes from Krishna. Everything's coming from Krishna. Now, what exactly are the qualities of this person who is, you would call this close friend? What makes them a close friend instead of a not close friend? Okay, so therefore, if you can't tell immediately, how can you give me an answer, I will share this with close friends? If you don't know who you're sharing it with, how you know what I'm saying? In other words, the whole thing is speculative. If you can exactly say, this is a close friend, therefore I share it with these people because they have these qualities.
He has a relationship with Krishna.
He has a relationship with Krishna, but then that's between him and Krishna. Why do you have to get involved in it?
Well, I'm also there.
You're also there, but yes, so is this brick wall here. So many things are there. You know what I'm saying? In other words, like this. Do you want to learn? Or do you just want to be right? That's the question. So, we'll move on. Nimesha. In his purport to verses 32 to 33, Srila Prabhupada writes, "The constant companions of Lord Krishna, sons of Uddhava, are all liberated souls, and they descend along with Lord Krishna to this material world to fulfill the mission of the Lord. The Pandavas are also liberated souls who descended along with Lord Krishna to serve him in his transcendental pastimes on earth. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord and his eternal associates, who are also liberated souls, like the Lord, come down on this earth at certain intervals." In Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheda 64, Srila Jiva Goswami remarks in this connection. "Before speaking to Brahma, the four essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna revealed himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the following verses, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.15. Lord Brahma saw in the Vaikuntha planets Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of the entire devotee community, the Lord of the Yadu dynasty, the Lord of the goddesses of fortune, the Lord of all sacrifices, and the Lord of the universe, and who is served by the foremost servitors like Nanda, Sunanda, Prabala, and Arjuna, his immediate associates in Dwarka." In this verse, the words Akhila Satvatam Patim mean the Lord of all the heroes in the Yadu dynasty. Sridhar Swami confirms this in his Tika. Maha Vaikuntha is also used. 2. That Sri Krishna, the master of the Yadu dynasty, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is confirmed in the following verse spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.20. Satvatas also at times means Vaishnavas, but in this case, dynasty. It means, in other words, the Vaishnavas are in the family of the Lord in the Achyuta Gotra, but it also specifically means those who are in the direct pastime family of Krishna. That's the Satvatas. But it also, because Vaishnavas are in Krishna's family, they can also be counted as Satvatas. But generally when you say Satvatas, you're meaning advanced devotees. You're not generally just, it's not the general category of devotees. That's Vaishnavas. Satvatas would be like advanced ones who are considered like part of the Lord's family. But specifically it means the Lord's family. Quote,
May Lord Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all the devotees, the protector and glory of all the kings like Andaka and Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, all are called Yadus or Satvatas. The husband, like the kings like Andaka and Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, the husband of the goddess of fortune, the director of all sacrifices and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation on earth, the supreme all in all, be merciful unto me. Maharaj Yudhishthira now addressed queries of concern to the person of his brother. My dear Arjuna, I wonder how your health is, for you appear to have lost your bodily luster. Could this be due to your having been neglected and disrespected by others for having stayed so long at Dwarka? Has someone addressed you harshly or threatened you? Did you fail to keep a promise, or were you unable to give in charity to a deserving person? Could you not give protection to brahmanas, children, cows, women, or diseased persons that had approached you for shelter? Have you contacted a woman of low character or one who was inferior to you? Have you taken your meal alone without providing for old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you committed some other abominable act? So the section you see is that he's asking about the associates of the Lord. Because these associates then, if they're present, means Krishna's present. If they're doing well, then that means the pastimes are still going on, but he's gone. And Arjuna, by looking distressed here, then we see is that he's immediately looking for all causes. What would make a kshatriya distressed? A kshatriya, grihastha, who's practicing of Arjuna's, what would make him distressed? So these are the points. You stayed too long in Dwarka, so therefore people say you're doing nothing, right? But we always still understand all these apply to us. Therefore, someone does not overstay their welcome. Because by doing that, you may be insulted, which is not good, like this. Someone addressed you harshly or threatened you. So as someone, just by their, you know, because if they're doing, because the kshatriyas and passion, these things hurt, they stay with them. It's very hard to let them go. Did you fail to keep a promise or unable to give charity? You know, these are things kshatriya has to do. He has to give in charity. He has to maintain his promise. So he was unable to maintain his vow. So he's insulted because he was staying for a relationship. He was called lazy. Or he was just insulted for some other reason, undeserving. So here is now something deserving he should have done, he didn't do. Right? Does that make situation? Could you not give protection to the Brahmins, children, cows, women, or diseased persons that approach you for shelter? Someone comes to you for shelter, kshatriya means protection. They were unable to protect them. Kshatriya would feel useless. Right? So then, naturally, he'd be dejected. Contacted a low woman of low character, one who is inferior, because the kshatriya should only move with those who are the same class. Because otherwise, then you get varnashankara. So, has he contacted someone of low character? So even the kshatriya should be avoiding this. So then that's improper. Have you taken your meal alone? So, in other words, he's supposed to provide for others, but he's not. He's just eating alone and didn't take care of others who deserved. Is it something if they don't deserve, but those who deserved? You know, he didn't take care of others. Those who should have eaten with him, he didn't. So, in other words, just taking something, going yourself, eating alone, is not considered good. I've seen two scenarios, on the same point. One is, you know, you see a devotee, and he's with some other devotees, and he goes up, they give him some mahaprasad, a little bit like this. So he just looks at it, that's nothing, it's not enough for everybody, so he just pops it in his mouth, you know, I mean, somebody should eat it, right? And then I've seen the converse, where I've seen this whole group, big Indian family, you know, there's the 10, 12, 15 people in the family, and one of them, you know, like the, you know, one of the sons or something goes up and there, and they give him a little, like a one piece of sandesh. Immediately he comes back and, you know, shares that, breaking off little bits, you know, everyone gets, you know, like that much, you know, and giving to everybody because it's prasad, they all share, right? Because the idea there is you share what you have. The other one is there should be completeness of sense gratification, right? The Western thing is, it means somebody should be enjoying. Okay, I'm not, but somebody should be. You know? But You know, because that's the point. Kama is the thing. But dharma is more the thing in the Vedic. So therefore, I have a relationship with others, then that is being shared. Right? So this is why the thing is because you're dealing with energy. That's why it's very important to learn what's there, because it's not consistent. Very important. It is consistent if you know the bigger, bigger, bigger picture. But it's just like you're going to ask this. Okay, you take a man, he's got a plan, he's got some idea. Generally it moves in that direction, yes or no? Yeah. You have a woman, she has an idea, has a plan. Does it generally move in that direction? Or does it keep changing as the situation changes? Right? Okay. Now, one can say, well, that's inconsistent, that's not normal, that's not logical, it's wrong. No, it's just the way it is. Right? That's the way it's been created. So, now, to understand how things keep reversing like this, seemingly contradictory, you have to hear from Shastra. You'll never figure it out yourself. You'll catch one or two points, but you're not going to catch them all, because they're always contradictory. Right? That's what we're saying is, Bhagavatam is for the premise that the Shastra said it, I accept it. Now, let us understand how that applies. If I need to, I look at the metaphysics. If not, how do you apply it culturally, practically? Right? But you start from the premise that, because it's mentioned, that's the way it is, because otherwise I'll never figure it out. It means nobody has figured out women, so how are you going to figure it out? So Shastra's explaining the material energy, which is feminine. So we're not going to figure it out. If we were, we would have been out of here a long time ago. Does that make sense? But we're still here because we haven't figured it out. That's why we have to hear from Shastra, because one thing that looks like this, then we take the logic to the next step. It should be like this, but it's not. It's the opposite. Right? Does that make sense? Right? You come home, the man's ignoring you. You know, then you can conclude there's some problem here and he doesn't want to deal with me. Right? You come home, the woman's ignoring you. You can't conclude, oh, she's not interested. No, she's very interested, but you've annoyed her, so she's going to make you hurt. That's why you need scripture. Right? Because what I just said now, that's from Shastra. So that's why one has to keep the be more open. That's Mahatma, broad-minded.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So those who are full-time enrolled students, please come and take.
Yes, I forgot. Part-time students also do the essay. I forgot. They would know better. Also, oh yeah, sometimes we're having different essays. Okay. Anyway, if full-time or part-time, this is the essay question. So please take it from Kashyaswar Prabhu. It's to be returned, of course, one page of text on Monday, and we also have here the graphical diagram of chapter 13 and 14 too. Okay, these are present two chapters. It's very helpful in understanding at a glance where the questions and answers are, and also the important verses. So thank you very much, and we'll meet again on Monday. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Something. Yeah.
said, okay, you're in this temple now, I'm on this
temple.
So
it's
this is like an
option. I guess it is an option. I might never think about soya.
So I don't need a commitment. I can just start from the beginning of May.
Chapter 13. It's a question that they need something. As I said, the development was relatively.